Laura, we're good to go.
All right, thank you. Go ahead, Madam Chair.
The Piscataway Township Planning Board meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways: notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News, well, no longer the Star Ledger, I guess. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Thank you. Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Ms. Saunders?
Here.
Mr. Atkins?
Here.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yeah, here.
Okay. Mr. Echevarria? He just
Here.
emailed me. His Zoom was updating. Here he comes.
Okay.
No, I'm here. Thank you.
He's here. Thank you. Hi, Phil. And Madam Chair.
Here. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting notice?
Certainly, Madam Chair, in keeping with the Department of Community Affairs guidelines, the Planning Board is going forward in this virtual platform. The appropriate login information was set forth in the notices that were sent out. If any member of the public wishes to be heard during a particular application, please raise your hand and the chair will recognize you. And it's appropriate to go forward at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. The American flag is visible over my right shoulder. Can we all cross our hearts and salute the flag? I pledge allegiance
To the
to
flag
the flag of the United States of America
and to the
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Can we have the swearing in of the professionals?
Can you please raise your right hand?
Have.
Do you swear that the testimony about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I
Thank
do.
you.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Are there any changes to tonight's agenda, Mr. Barlow? Mr. Barlow, I think your mic is off.
You are correct. No changes, Madam Chair, other than a reminder that with regards to number 10, the Rivercrest matter, I have a conflict and Mr. Keneally is here to handle that matter.
Okay, then the rest of our agenda stands. Can I have a motion to pay the duly audited bills?
Madam Chair, this is Carol Saunders. I make a motion to pay the duly audited bills.
Do I have a second?
Second, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echevarria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 8, adoption of resolutions to memorialize action taken for January 8th.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize the resolution for application 24PB20, Ribbon Dale Metals Urban Renewal LLC, preliminary and final site plan.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Atkins, second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echevarria?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Ms. Saunders, item number 8, adoption of minutes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of January 8, 2025.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echevarria?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 10, discussion regarding the redevelopment plan for block 7305, lots 19.01, 20, and 21.
I
Good
will be
evening, Madam
stepping
Chair. This
down.
is Jim Keneally, sitting in for Mr. Barlow. This is a redevelopment plan discussion for the Rivercrest Cabana Club. I believe we have Mr. Clarkin present to lead the discussion.
Yes, thank you very much, Jim. Everyone see that and can hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, then let's get rolling. So yeah, as Jim said, I'll be presenting the Rivercrest Cabana Club redevelopment plan. If you recall back in December last year, I presented the study. So that paved the way for us to, or for me to prepare this plan on the board's behalf, and I will run through it. So just a quick plan overview. So this proposes age-restricted residential townhomes as permitted, as really the only permitted use within the designated area of this redevelopment. So this proposed use fits in, I believe, with your current R10 residential zone, which is where Rivercrest resides, at least in within that zone. And I think that the density will match the low density residential character of that zone. So I'll run through this plan. It's really just going to go through the physical and structural nature, different standards that I put together. I won't read this. I think most of you are familiar with the Rivercrest Cabana Club at the end of Rivercrest Drive. The total lot area is 2.14 acres. And just as a quick reminder, your R10 zone only allows single family detached dwellings. It allows some accessory uses like pools or private garages, some conditional uses. And then these are the current standards. Actually, I just noticed a typo, I'll fix that, for your R10 residential zone. So I'm just gonna run through the plan goals and objectives really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to create land use requirements specific to the redevelopment area so that we can effectuate that development of underutilized parcels that was found from the study that I presented back in December in such a way that really improves the area and benefits from such a redevelopment plan. So we want to encourage redevelopment for tax ratables, but also construct appropriate land uses within the zone in Piscataway. And we can leverage different financial tools such as tax abatement through the redevelopment process. But really, the reason why we're going with modern age-restricted residential units is because of the high demand for such a use. But the added benefit is that we can set aside 3 units as affordable so that we can help the township with its compliance for the fair share obligation for your affordable housing master plan. So now I'll run through the land use plan if there's no questions. As I said, only principal permitted use allowed is residential townhomes restricted to age 55 and over. I put in permitted accessory uses that are pretty typical: your off-street parking, signs, gates, patios, electric charging stations for parking. And then your prohibited uses are basically anything that's not written in here, or storage or warehousing of hazardous or dangerous materials. So bottom of page 4, you'll see the proposed area, yard, and bulk requirements. So we're going with minimum lot area of 90,000 square feet, your minimum lot width and depth of 250 and 200. So that fits in well with the roughly two acre size parcel that we're talking about. The minimum rear and side yards are pretty typical for townhomes, but also fit well within the context of the R10 zone. They're pretty similar. They can't be any higher than 35 feet, these townhomes, so no more than 2.5 or 3 stories. And then your max impervious coverage and max building coverage are pretty typical as well. In terms of density, so since it's only 2 units, we're proposing a total of 16 units in 4 residential townhome structures. So basically you would have 4 units per building for a total of 16. And as I said, 3 of those will be affordable units. I'm going to skip ahead on the plan. This section is really just the relationship of this plan to your existing development regulations. And your relationship to local objectives is making sure that the density is appropriate. So is the land use, traffic, et cetera. In terms of traffic circulation, there's really not much. There's a proposed 1 parking lot in and out. We're proposing 2 spaces per residential unit, so that roughly works out to 28 spaces, 6 of which will be plug-in electric charging stations and will be fully operational when it is built. as a requirement of this plan. And then you'll also have 5-foot-wide pedestrian sidewalks, not only along Rivercrest Drive, but throughout the complex to connect the four structures so that the residents can get into their units easily from the parking area. And just a few more sections that I think are worth going over. Utilities are pretty straightforward. Solid waste disposal, there will be an enclosure with a dumpster. And this just lays out that no hazardous waste or anything like that, no bulk storage is allowed. Signage design standards are pretty straightforward. We're allowing one freestanding monument sign just for the overall development. Can't be any higher than 5 feet, no more than 50 square feet in size, and it has to be set back 10 feet. Then you have your typical directional signs that you find in parking lots. Nothing, or they may be illuminated as long as they're not flashing or anything like that. Lighting shall be LED and shall not spill over to neighboring residents. Landscaping, we usually keep pretty basic in landscape plans because we're, or excuse me, redevelopment plans, as we trust in Piscataway Township staff to make it landscaped as desired. And I think that's really it. The additional design standards really just make sure fences are no more than 6 feet and they're not chain link, and that they meet your property maintenance code. Environmental assessment, there was no environmental concerns during the study, so it does not seem that the redeveloper will have to do anything, but if something does come up, this just says that they are responsible for that. And I really think that's it. So, quick summation, this is a redevelopment plan for Rivercrest, or the Rivercrest Cabana Club. Total of 16 age-restricted townhomes in four structures with three affordable units. And that is the plan that we are proposing for this lot. So with that, I can take questions.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of Mr. Clarkin?
Madam Chair, it's Councilwoman Cahill. Mr. Clarkin, just a quick question. And I'm sure you said it, but I wasn't clear on it. The age-restricted units are only the townhomes or the entire development?
The entire development.
Okay, thank you very much.
Let me jump in and apologize. I had it in my calendar at 7:30. I don't know what the mistake was, Larry Lavender. I apologize. I thought it was set for 7:30 tonight.
You didn't go yet, Mr. Lavender. Thank you.
Oh, we didn't go yet.
You
Oh,
didn't
wonderful.
miss you, sir.
You're on next, so good timing.
Any other questions of
If I may,
Mr.
Madam Chair, this
Yes,
one's
Mayor.
for Mr. Keneally. I just want to make sure, the age restricted, because I know in at the senior housing we have problems with people qualify for the senior housing, and the next thing you know, you have extended family members living there, and it turns into you have to go to court to get them out. Do we address this now or in the site plan?
That would be
I just
later
want to
on,
make
Mayor.
sure age restricted means age restricted, that somebody buys the units age restricted and they don't take off. And then next thing you know, you have somebody not age restricted there living in a unit where the principal owner's not there anymore,
Yeah, Mayor, that's a
even though they
valid
own the unit.
consideration, but it's not a valid consideration for this discussion. That would come up later at site plan
All
as
right,
well.
I want to make a note to the planning staff that when we go to do the site plan, that has to be a condition of approval. And I want the attorneys to work on that so we don't have an issue that we're having around town right now.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Keneally or Mr. Clarkin, I should say? Okay. Let's open it up to the public for any questions. Members of the public, you've heard a redevelopment plan for age-restricted housing by Mr. Clarkin. Does anyone in the public have any questions for the testimony, for Mr. Clarkin's testimony regarding this matter?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public.
Madam Chair, in anticipation of a positive reaction to this discussion, I have prepared a resolution recommending the adoption of this redevelopment plan for the consideration of the Planning Board.
Well, do we have to vote on it first,
Yeah,
Mr.
they do it
Keneally?
different here, Jim. They do two votes.
Oh, okay.
Just the one.
Okay. Okay, members of the board, does anyone have a motion at this time regarding how to proceed with this motion for redevelopment?
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I would recommend that we move forward with the recommendation of the age-restricted housing as laid out by Mr. Clark and in the redevelopment plan.
Do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Wallach?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Ms. Echeverria?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Now that the board is reacting favorably, I do have a resolution.
Madam Chair, I'd like to memorialize the resolution for recommending adoption of the redevelopment plan for Rivercrest Cabana Club, Rivercrest Drive, Block 7305, Lot 19.1, 20 and 21.
Do I have a second?
Dawn Corcoran, I'll second.
Roll call.
Mayor Wallach?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
Mr. Echeverria?
Yes.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Okay.
Thank you. And I will return the meeting to Mr. Barlow.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow night, Jim.
Thank you. See you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jim.
Item number 11 on our agenda tonight. 24PB08/09V is in Victor LRN Properties LLC. Okay, here we go.
Before Mr. Lavender begins, Madam Chair, I just want to indicate for the record, this is a continuation of a matter that was heard on December 11th, 2024. At that time, Chairwoman Smith, Mayor Waller, Councilwoman Cahill, Ms. Corcoran, Mr. Ahmed, who are on the meeting tonight, were present during that hearing. Mr. Foster and Mr. Kenny, who were there in December, are not present tonight. So those five members heard the testimony. Also, Mr. Atkins has reviewed the transcript and signed an affidavit indicating that he did so. So we have six members this evening that, if the matter comes to a vote, can vote. Okay. Ms. Saunders was not present, unfortunately, at the December meeting, and Mr. Echeverria was not present. So I just want the record to reflect those are the six members who
will be able to vote. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Lavender. I turn it over to you.
Sure. Mr. Barlow, so there's six members who are able to vote. Did the members, any of the other six, did they listen to the transcript? Are they able to vote because they heard the transcript or no?
Five were there at the meeting.
Five were right. Present.
The sixth one was the transcript.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. There's two members that are unable to vote. We have eight members on, so six can vote. That's all I wanted the record to be clear.
Thank you. And are my professionals on? I'm just looking through. Yep, Les is here. Gotcha. Okay. All right. Okay. Good evening, everyone. My name is Larry Lavender. I'm the attorney for the applicant. The property at issue is located at 60 Normandy Drive, Piscataway, New Jersey. Applicant is requesting approval from the planning board to subdivide an existing 15,408 square foot parcel into two lots. There's presently a single family dwelling on the property. Applicant is proposing to construct a new single family dwelling on the newly subdivided portion with frontage on Hancock Road. The existing single family house will be renovated with a two-story addition and a rear patio. Will be testimony given by the applicant's engineer and planner to address questions and comments from the board's professionals, as well as those from the board and the community. With the board's permission, if there are no questions for myself, I'd like to have our first witness sworn in. I believe our first witness will be Les.
Mr. Walker, can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth and nothing but the truth?
Of course I do.
Thank you.
So at the last hearing, I believe I got my full testimony in. There are a handful of changes. We resubmitted a couple of weeks ago, and there are a couple of changes. We heard the concern over the lot coverage and the house, the proposed house on lot B, the additions to the existing house being a little bit excessive. So where the architect worked with the owner and got the building down to a 19.9% coverage. So we comply now with building coverage where 20% is allowed. We're at 19.9. And what that did was by compacting the footprint, it'll also eliminated a need for a side variance on the garage side. We had 5.7 feet before, and now we're fully compliant. And in the front, the existing house sits 9.7 feet back into the property from the right of way. And that's, we were proposing previously 6.7 feet for a porch. And we have since reworked the architectural plans, and we are holding the 9.7 feet where the existing home currently sits. So no longer need, it's still a variance, but it's not, we're not exacerbating the variance. We're kind of holding the existing house setback. So that's the highlights. I have the updated reports from the board professionals, and you know, with the exception of a couple of items, I think we can, we'll be fully complying with those letters. So if there's any questions or if you want me to go through the letters, however you want to proceed, Madam Chair.
I guess, Mr. Walker, what don't you think you can comply with? Obviously, the plan is, you've reduced some of the variances that were needed in keeping with the comments from the board members. What is it that you don't feel you can comply with?
No, so we had a, there were a few items pointed out in Ms. Corcoran's letter. She identified that we did not show the twin fiber optic conduit on Hancock. That was a drafting error. It was a misunderstanding, and those will be provided. They'll be added to the plan. There was a discussion about one of the comments was about needing a right-of-way dedication at the intersection of Hancock and Normandy, where the property boundary currently goes out into what will be the improved intersection. There's a plan by Remington Vernick that for improvements and where that curb between the two roads meets, our property goes out into that road, and we will make that adjustment. It changes the lot area for lot A from 9,596 feet. That would be 148 square foot dedication, right-of-way dedication. So it reduces lot A to 9,448 square feet. And then there was a question whether or not giving that dedication would cause a lot coverage for lot coverage violation for lot A. And it just changes from 15.4, the way it was shown on the plan, to 15.6, still considerably below 20%, which is allowed. So it doesn't cause a problem there. And we will make that right-of-way dedication.
Mr. Walker, can I just, for have those numbers again, I realize it's at 9,596. That dedication that was requested by Ms. Corker and the staff is how many square feet?
148 square feet. It's a small triangle where the property goes out into the road, the roadway, so that the net number will be 9,448 square feet on lot A.
Okay, thank you.
So it's a minor change. It doesn't impact anything else.
Okay, but the applicant is willing to do that dedication as per the request.
That's correct. There was a couple other places where our plan had slightly different numbers than Ms. Corcoran's letter, and we'll fully comply and update our plan to match her numbers. And other than that, there was a question about the location of the air conditioning units and screening. On lot A, the condenser is shown in the side yard. There's really, it's two front yards and a side yard. It's a triangular shaped lot with no rear yard. So obviously it can't be behind the home, but it'll be on the side. It complies with setback, and we will provide the required screening in the form of a short screening fence and some evergreen shrubs. And then on the addition for the new home, we showed it behind the home, but that puts it closer than 10 feet to the rear property line. So to fix that, same thing, we'll move that to the side yard alongside the garage and provide the same screening, and then it won't require any relief for screening or location.
Okay. And you agree to work with the professional staff as to the landscaping, correct?
That's right. That's right.
And Mr. Lavender, I think you probably saw in the staff report the requested deed restrictions.
Yeah.
The applicant has no issue with regards to complying with that?
No, sir.
That was, I forgot to mention that. So that on both homes, and our architect is on both homes, the second kind of main entrance was eliminated. It's the existing front door on lot B on the existing home is now eliminated. And then it was a external egress with stairs, not a Bilco a door, but like a full set of stairs to the home on lot A, and that's also been eliminated. So in hearing the concerns over, you know, illegal two families that kind of just pop up, those external doors had also been eliminated.
Ms. Corcoran, do you have any other concerns you would want to address?
I do not, Tom. I think they've addressed everything in the staff report, and no further comments on our end.
Larry, do you have anything else?
I believe we have one other professional, if I'm not mistaken. Do we have our planner?
Well, do you need to see the architectural plans, the updated architectural plans? He's here. Reggie's here. If you need to see the homes, if not, yeah, Justin, the planner is also one.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing the plans if they're going to
be. Okay, then let's call witness. Give everybody a chance to see what they're talking about. Mr. Lavender, you want to call the architect?
Yeah, I'd like our architect to come up and be sworn in, please.
Hi, I'm Reggie Paget. I am the architect.
Hi. Can you please raise your right hand first?
Sure.
Mr. Paget, do you swear that the testimony about the give we do truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you.
So what I can walk you through, which are the plans that have been sent to the township for review and for record, I can bring up first this. I'll try and stay in the same order that Les did, with the lot B as first. If I can share my screen.
Sure.
I would like to do that. So just to give you some orientation of where the location of it is, again, lot B is here, which is in this circle. we submitted two set of documents to kind of delineate the and not confuse the two lots. So the first lot we're discussing, which is where the existing dwelling is where the addition has been made. I will just quickly walk you through what the existing dwelling look like for now. It is
Mr. Paget, yes. if you want to maybe go to the changes you made from the last plans, you did testify and went over the old plans and the existing conditions. You just want to highlight for the board the changes you made from last time.
Sure. So the changes, the difference from the last time. The last time we had an entrance at the ground level just for the with a bedroom and had a kind of a its own suite with a bath, foyer, and then this was the kitchen and then the living and dining room. So now that the based on all the comments that we received, we removed this utility room. Since then, we have made all this the same level, which is the first floor. And I will show you here, which is now it's you enter in from this side of the dwelling. And this all is all on one level. You have the living room, dining room, a powder room, and then the eat-in kitchen, one car garage. Whereas before we had the dwelling, and then we had a two car garage on the side as well, and we also had a basement under the addition portion, which I guess we would consider that a cellar. Now we still remain with somewhat of a cellar, utility room, and rec room on the ground floor. Then on the upper floor, very much so, we have changed. We have the primary suite here, walk-in closet, primary bath. Initially, the whole primary suite consumed basically the whole second floor of this, and then there we had other rooms on the I think I'm referencing an older plan, but very similar. We made this a study. It's not a bedroom. But anyway, this was the older plan. And then, so now we have more of an office, two bedrooms. It's a small office, two bedrooms. And then the primary suite is over the garage. And then with its own bathroom, and then there's bathroom for the main here in the laundry room. And then we have the loft space with a powder room, you know, loft, attic storage, powder room, mechanical closet. Those are the primary changes that we made for the for B. Any questions related to B?
Members of the board, do you have any questions of the testimony so far? You need any clarifications?
Madam Chair, if I may, I just want to I apologize. I don't have the architecturals in front of me and they're very small on the screen. But the proposed garage, that does comply with the size requirement in terms that it has to be 12 feet by 20 feet with no obstructions, correct?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Any other members of the board need clarification? Okay, is this into your testimony? Mr. Lavender?
It's not my testimony. I'm the attorney.
I don't mean your testimony. Your witness's testimony.
If there's no further questions from either the audience or the board, yeah, we can bring on our final.
Because I believe before we post it to the public, we should get the next witness.
My man, absolutely. I believe Justin is our planner tonight.
Can you unshare your screen, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you call your next witness?
Mr. Justin, I believe, is our planner for tonight.
I'm here. Good evening.
Hello, Justin. And do you swear that the testimony about to give we the truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Mr. Lavender, Justin did not testify at the last hearing, so if you could just qualify him. The other two witnesses were qualified, but Mr. Osceola wasn't.
Sure. Justin, you want to give a background of your qualifications, your resume?
Yes, absolutely. And I thank you, and a good evening to everybody. I have a master's degree in city regional planning from Rutgers University. I've been a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey since 2008. I have approximately 20 years of experience in this profession. I've appeared in front of your board on multiple occasions, but I've appeared in 20 counties in the state of New Jersey on hundreds of occasions on different matters. I've done everything from master planning to redevelopment. I've done a lot of zoning ordinance work on residential properties, commercial, et cetera, and I'm very familiar with this type of testimony as well.
You're acceptable, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess we can just get right into it. I did, of course, have the opportunity. I've been on, I think this is the second hearing. I've been working on this project now for, I think, approximately 2 years. So I'm quite familiar with the genesis of this work and obviously the changes the changes to the plans that have occurred since the hearing in December. But one thing that remains is that we're dealing with one lot and, as proposed, two lots, if this subdivision is approved, that are irregularly shaped. I mean, these are some of the oddest shaped lots that I've encountered in my 20 years of planning experience. So I think, from a planning standpoint, these variances, and I'll, go through them one by one, but I'll be very, very brief. These variances can be processed under the C1 and C2 criteria. The C1 criteria being a hardship that's relating to the nature of the shape of the property, and the C2 criteria, which is the public benefit test. What are the benefits of here to the community? So I'll just get, right into it. As I just said, under the C1 criteria, this is one oddly shaped lot. It's essentially, if the subdivision is approved, it's two double triangles, essentially. This is the only lot that's in the area that's shaped this way, and which is also very different about this lot and unique is that this overall lot has frontage on three roadways, two roadways, predominantly, but there's some qualities of this overall lot that are inherent here that are really driving these hardships. I'm going to reference, just for ease of going through things, I'm going to reference the staff letter dated June 25th, 2024, last revised 2/3/2025. Does a nice job of brevity and really going through the variances that are required. For proposed lot A, there's a variance for minimum lot area, 10,000 square feet is required. Proposed lot area is 9,448 square feet. That has just changed, obviously, as you heard about the proposed to the case, a slight decrease. Even though this lot does not comply with the zone requirement of the lot area, my argument here is that consistent with the character of the properties across from Normandy Drive. 55 Normandy Drive is 9,500 square feet. 59 Normandy Drive is 9,500 square feet. So we're we're right in the the ballpark. So really, that goes to establishing the consistency with the immediate character of the area. Also, it's consistent with the property that's adjacent on Hancock. 7 Hancock Road is 6,000 square feet. So obviously, we exceed the size of that lot, approximately 3,500 square feet. So all in all,
offering's getting
adjacent
bad.
as well.
Be freezing up.
Required is 100-foot lot depth. Proposed is 55.89 feet lot depth. Again, this is an oddly shaped lot. It's triangular in nature. The character of this lot is, no fault to the owner. Whatever you're going to put on this lot, whether it's this or something else, you're going to need a variance because of this condition. There's really no way to cure this condition. In terms of the front yard setback, 35 feet is required. As proposed is 25 feet on Hancock Road and 24.45 feet on Normandy Drive. Again, we're dealing with two front yard setbacks here that goes to the C1 hardship. Due to that, and also the triangular shape of the lot, conformance is very difficult here for any type of dwelling that is going to be reasonable in size, to accommodate a single family unit. And I believe the next variance that relates to the conduit lines has been addressed by Mr. Walker. In terms of proposed lot B, the minimum lot that's required is 10,000 square feet. Proposed is 5,812 square feet. What's interesting about lot A and lot B is that both of them, because they're kind of existing, both lots, from the naked eye, kind of exist on separate eyes because the point at which they combine is, very narrow. So if you're standing on the street and you're looking at both lot A and lot B, or proposed lot A and lot B, they're going to appear, to be separate lots. And that goes to the unique nature of this overall lot. But I would say what's important here, even though the proposed lot area of lot B is approximately 4,000 square feet under, what's required as a minimum in the zone, this lot area is predominantly consistent with the neighboring property at 2 Bristol Road. That lot area is 5,967 square feet compared to the proposed lot area of 5,812 square feet. So when you look at, the impacts on the adjacent properties here, the property that is actually contiguous with this property, it's not creating a condition of one small lot or one undersized lot next to a much larger lot. They're pretty consistent in terms of size. The next is the lot width. 100-foot lot width is required, and 83.5 lot width is proposed. Again, we're dealing with a lot that, for all intents and purposes, even though it's one overall lot today, they still kind of appear to be separate lots. And again, this is not, in my opinion, this is really not discernible to the eye, and it's really not going to compare to be out of character, with the area or with the requirement of the 100-foot lot width. The next variance required is lot depth. Like lot depth, it's 100 feet, and 76.5 is proposed. Again, same argument here. We're dealing with this oddly shaped lot that's triangular in nature, and there's really no way to cure this condition. The next is the front yard setback. 35 feet is required, and 9.7 feet, which is to the covered porch, is proposed. This front yard setback is actually consistent with the current condition of the lot. The proposed improvements do not exceed the existing and proposed front yard, which I would say from a planning standpoint and from an impact standpoint is quite pertinent here. And also for the rear yard setback, which is 25 feet required, proposed is 1.2. What's unique about this variance is that there were two encroachments actually onto the adjacent property for the principal rear yard and the accessory side and rear yards. Both of them are being cured, even though a variance is still required. I think from a planning standpoint, again, this is a pretty unique condition where we have a portion of the structures on this property encroaching onto an adjacent property. So I think through this plan, curing that deficiency or that impact to the adjacent property is really proper planning. And lastly, there's a variance for the lot frontage, as required. It's 100 feet, and as proposed is 6.4 of a foot to Bristol Road. I really see this more as a technical variance. It is a tiny bit of frontage on Bristol Road, and really in terms of this proposed subdivision, there's really no impact at all to Bristol Road because this house is the orientation of the house and the driveway, and really pretty much everything that's proposed to be developed on this property is pushed towards Normandy Drive. And lastly, I believe the AC unit issue has been cured, as you heard from Mr. Walker. So that's the overall kind of gist of the technical justifications for the variances. I would say under the C2 criteria, I would say there are at least two purposes of the municipal land use law that would be advanced through this application, and that's purpose G, to provide for a sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of uses. In this instance, it's residential. I think, as I said, a lot of these variances are driven by C1 conditions. This is a proposed use. The house that's currently existing on the property today is permitted, and if the subdivision is successful, the other house will be permitted as well. And it's my professional opinion, and I would say that opinion is supported and buttressed by the opinion of the site engineer. I would say that there is sufficient space to accommodate the subdivision. And also purpose I, which speaks to a desirable visual environment and good civic design. As you heard from the architect, what's proposed is going to be a vast improvement over what's currently on the site today. And there's going to be a lot more functionality on the site than is currently situated as well. So all in all, from the C2 standpoint, I believe what's proposed is a better planning alternative than what currently sits on the site, despite, of course, the variances that are required this evening. Also, I think it's important as well, and this is referenced in the board planner's letter, the through lot condition is cured in this application as well. Again, we're dealing with a very oddly shaped lot, which, for all intents and purposes, appears to be two separate lots that has frontage on three roadways, two roadways predominantly a sliver of Bristol. But we always look to eliminate through lot conditions, and I think this is an application that serves that goal. Relative to the master plan, and I believe the latest update was 2020. There are some purposes that I think are pertinent. It does speak to high quality design and residential and other uses. I think this meets that goal. Preservation of the character and the quality of neighborhoods. Again, I think the adaptive reuse of the existing structure on this property and the new structure as well certainly goes to the preservation of providing for two modern dwellings in this neighborhood. And possibly this can be a shot in the arm, which I think is always important from planning standpoint. Also, which is also very pertinent, as you heard at the last hearing, the applicant's father is elderly and infirm, and there is a purpose of or a goal of the 2020 update, which speaks to providing a variety of senior citizen housing alternatives, and I think this proposal really goes to the heart of meeting that goal. So that's all the positive criteria. I'll just very briefly touch on the negative criteria. And as the board is aware, there are two prongs to the negative criteria. The first is a showing of whether or not the variances that are presented will present a substantial detriment to the public good. And the second is a showing of whether or not the variances will impair the purpose of the zone plan, the master plan, the zoning ordinance. In terms of the first prong, I think it's important as well to also stress that the law states that there just can't be any detriment, because two reasonable people can disagree whether something's a detriment. That's why it's kind of a higher level of being substantial. I think in this proposal, the proposed uses on these two separate lots are permitted, and they're also obviously compatible with the single family character of the area. One thing, especially when I'm on the public side doing, plan reviews, I always look at lot coverage or building coverage in this instance, per your zone. And this is an application that doesn't require a variance for building coverage. And that really speaks to, I know we've all been experiencing seemingly, 100-year storms on multiple occasions of the year. And I know that's a big concern of this board, but we do not require a variance for that. And I think that really speaks to, an application that is not overdoing it, so to speak, with the proposed development of this lot. So I think that really goes to, the heart of the negative criteria, that we're not creating or we're not proposing a subdivision or two separate dwellings that are going to create a condition that would have a negative impact on the neighbors. The applicant, as you heard from the first hearing to now, has made substantial efforts to improve the site. We've made efforts. We've gone back to the drawing board and we've made efforts to either reduce variances or remove them altogether. And I think we're really proposing a plan here that's going to mesh well with the character of the area. I'm not going to reiterate all the testimony from the engineer or the architect, but I think their testimony was very clear that what's proposed, will be an asset to the neighborhood and the township as well. And lastly, whether or not there's going to be a negative impairment to the intent and the purpose of the zone plan and the zoning ordinance, the purpose of the township zoning ordinance meshes or propels the same purposes of the MLUL. And there are at least two criteria here of the MLUL that are advanced. So I would say that, there's no impair, to the zoning ordinance. And lastly, we are proposing two permitted uses this evening. So we're not in any way going to fracture the intent of the zone plan of the zone as well. All in all, I think my testimony has made it clear that in my professional opinion, we're dealing with C1 hardships, and also in terms of the C2, the benefits do outweigh the detriments. And if there are any detriments, they're not substantial in nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lavender?
I think that's the extent of our witnesses this evening. If the board has any questions for myself or any of the witnesses, or we could, with your permission, open it to the public.
Board members, do you have any questions of this witness?
Oh, just one comment, if I could, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, I respectfully disagree that there's a C1 hardship here. If this applicant was coming in to do something with the existing home and they were, they had a hardship because of the front yard setback, I'd agree. But they're subdividing this lot. So, I mean, there is case law talking about the Raspberry decision talked about subdivisions, and it had to do with D2 use variance. But the spirit was, if you subdivide a lot, you're kind of exacerbating the existing non-conforming conditions. So at that point, I don't think there's a C1. It's almost like a self-created hardship. I would just defer that, the applicant has provided testimony about the C2. If you wish to consider that and weigh it, I think he has provided clarity on that. But I just respectfully disagree on the C1. And basically, I always put the footnote in there about C2s. And I'll if the planner wants to offer this, it says that the focus on a C2 shall be on the characteristics of the land that presented opportunity for improved zoning and planning that will benefit the community. I think he's kind of addressed it. If he wants to provide anything more, I'd offer him that floor, but I'll defer to you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Members of the board, any other questions or comments? Okay, I'm going to open it to the public. Does anyone in the public wish have any
Madam Chair,
questions? Yes.
so if I may,
Oh, you want to respond? Okay, sure.
yes, please. Thank you for that comment. I would say in terms of the C2 criteria here, I do understand your point about the C1, but respectfully, I would say I do understand the point of having an extra house in this lot, but I would say that having these kind of double triangles in itself, the overall lot in itself, I would say presents a hardship. In terms of the C2 criteria, thank you for the opportunity to address this further. I would also add criteria M, which speaks to the efficient use of land. I think what's proposed this evening, where we have a lot which obviously has the two double triangles, the one portion, the larger portion of the triangle, which is undeveloped. I would say what's proposed is actually more efficient in terms of if you look at the parcel map and the lots in the area, this is really filling in a hole of the neighborhood, and it's creating a condition which I would say is actually more consistent with the layout of the area as well. So I do think from a C2 standpoint, what's proposed is actually creating a condition that is more so conditioned with the fabric of the community, despite the fact, of course, that we do need the variances, but I think these variances are all justified, through the points I made in my testimony. Thank you for that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Members of the board, comments, questions? Okay, let's open it up to the public at this time. Members of the public, do you have any comments or questions of this witness or about this application? Would you indicate by showing your hand, waving your hand, that you want to have a question?
No one, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Closed to the public. All right, members of the board, what is your pleasure? Comments, thoughts, or you can make a motion.
Madam Chair, this is Councilwoman Cahill. I mean, I think based upon the fact that the applicant has come back and complied with all of the comments from the staff and addressed the issues of sort of the intense size of the addition. I mean, I would put a motion forward that this board take a vote tonight, and I'm of the mind to approve, but obviously that would be up to everyone else to decide. But I'd make the motion to approve it.
Obviously, subject to all the conditions they agreed to on the record and the staff reports, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was my intent by saying they made all the adjustments. They came back. Ms. Corcoran noted that the staff had no further comments because the applicant had agreed to make the changes that had been suggested by the staff to make it not such an intensive sort of use there or land usage. So yes, with all of the compliances, everything that was agreed to.
We need a second.
Yes, we need a second. What about the mayor's concern about assuring that there would be no, oh no, that was the other application. I'm sorry. Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, this is Dawn Corcoran. I agree with Councilwoman Cahill. There have been substantial changes to the plan. At this point, they've agreed to basically everything, all of the concerns, they agreed to all of the reports. So I would be comfortable making the second.
Okay, thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Appreciate it. Good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Thank you, Larry.
Reminder that the meeting starts at 7 o'clock in case anyone may not remember.
Is that directed towards me, Madam Chairman?
Holly there knew. Might be someone Holly listening knows. Or us.
I am, my staff is going to get it tomorrow. Thank you all. Take care.
Have a good night.
All right.
Meeting is adjourned.
We're adjourning. Okay, good. All right. Have a wonderful evening.
Good night,
everyone.
You too.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Have a good Valentine's Day.
Yes, yes you too.
How about that, Valentine's?
I agree.
Now I'm going home. It's my wife's birthday. I'm already in trouble.
Oh,
happy birthday.
Yes.
They're safely and quickly.
All right, Tom. Be safe. Enjoy.
Good night.
Bye-bye.